right, good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. We thank God for how good he's been, the mercy of God, and the grace of God. Take your Bible to the book of Job, chapter 21, if you find the place in the book of Job, chapter number 21. In this lesson that we're looking at here, you're able to stand, and we're going to read a passage of Scripture here. It's about verse number 13. All right, I want you to notice, if you will, please, in verse number 13. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment, go down to the grave. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, beside thee there's none else. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've already enjoyed. Now, speak, I pray, to our hearts by thy word. Thy word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on a sermon entitled Living from Dollar to Dollar. I kept looking for something to title that with. And there, all of a sudden, there it is. Living from dollar to dollar. In the book of Job here, I want you to notice there in about verse number 2, Job answered, and here's what he said, "Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations." Let me tell you right now, if you need something to comfort you, you'd better get it from the word of the Lord. You know, for 28 years here with you, I've done the best I can to tell you over and over again, there better be a chapter, a book, and a verse for what you're believing, for what you're endorsing, for what you're doing. You'd better have something from the hand and heart of God. I'm looking at a crowd here. You need not anywhere you go and visit. Something's wrong immediately. It ought to hit your mind what's wrong here. Preacher says something wrong immediately. It ought to hit your mind what's wrong here. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, and most of the Baptist preachers that I know, I've never had one that I would live under his thumb. I've never been a yes man for a preacher. I belong to God. And there's a lot of times a yes man was a mess man, and he just messed up and messed on the word of the Lord for his own opinion and his own self-glorification. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, here is Job, and he's got some accusers that are accusing him falsely. In fact, is you're going to find out is that he goes on in verse 5 and said, "Mark me and be astonished. Lay your hand upon your mouth." In other words, you better listen to what I've got to say. Notice, if you will, please, in verse 8, their seed, talking about the wicked, he said, "Their seed is established in their sight and with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, and neither is the rod of God upon them." You talk about, dear friend, their cattle were reproducing. He's talking about all that business there. And then he says, they send their children forth like little ones in the flock. Their children dance, and boy, they're happy, and so forth and on. And then he goes on, and what we read was, that he says about them, they spend their days in wealth. And then in a moment, they go down to the grave. Now, I'm going to tell you that when you begin to look into it, the reason being is because in verse 14, "Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." They don't want to know the ways of God. He says, "What is the Almighty that we should serve them?" they said. "And what profit should we if we pray unto him?" In other words, they go to thinking all the time, you know, "I'm not going to listen to God. I'm not going to listen to anybody preach about God, the word of God, the things of God. I'm not even praying to God. What good is it going to do me anyhow?" Verse 17, "How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? How often do the destruction come upon them? And God distributed sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind and chaff that the storm carried away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children, and he rewardeth him, and he shall know it." I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you begin to recognize, you begin to realize these are people that are anti-God, that are anti-Bible, that are anti-everything good, right, moral, and decent. They've got their mind made up. They got a bank full of money. Their ways don't please God, but it's certainly pleasing them. And the Bible said they're living, no doubt, from dollar to dollar, moment to moment. He said one of these days they're going to spend their wealth and go down to the grave in a moment. Man, what a sad commentary that's going to be. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that I'll notice something else about it. is that, you know, there's all the time we're thinking about we're going to live and do this or that tomorrow. I've already told you that, Lord willing, I've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. But we already know that he can intervene at any time he wants to. And as you begin to look into it, you'll find that that's what James warned about. Go to ye that boast now, say we're going such and such a city and stay there a year, buy, sell, get gain. For as you know it's not what shall be on the morrow. You see, today's the day, friend. Some of you sitting in this building here this morning, you're not saved. God's been pounding your heart. What exactly are you waiting on? Because tomorrow may not ever come, and yesterday is gone forever. See? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, I was noticing is that we ought to say, if the Lord's will. You realize, though, that what over there in the book of Psalm, don't turn there, but in chapter number 90 and about verse number 12, he says, Lord, teach us to number our days that I may know how frail that I am. I'm not going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever. Oh, I know there's a lot of people that thought that they were. Remember Michael Landon, Little Joe on the Bonanza. And there he was, you know. He went to school and he called himself Sam's son. His daddy's name was Sam. And he called himself Sam's son. And he'd go to letting his mane, he'd let it grow. He threw the javelin while he was in college and all that, and was a pretty good javelin thrower, the way I understand it. And one day, some of those boys got tired of listening to Samson, and they cut his hair off, and it ruined him mentally. And you'll notice when he was on Bonanza, he started out in short hair, and it got longer and longer and longer until he looked like Lizzybeth on the prairie instead of a little house on the prairie. No reflection to you ladies named that have somebody named Elizabeth. That's a great name. But he got cancer, remember that? No, I remember getting on and boasting and talking. That's not ever going to bring me down. But it killed him. I want to tell you, you may think that you're going to live forever and that God's going to let you off, but the Bible says, Lord, teach us to number our days that I may know how frail that I am. There's a passage over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 39. It's about verse number 4. And he said, Lord, make me to know my end. Now, I can tell you right now, if I don't wake up here, I can tell you where I will wake up. I can't tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow, and I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, but I can tell you what's going to be 1,000 years from now. You see that? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that Job is a man that certainly knows God. Here's a man that had everything taken away from him. Here's a man that was accused falsely by his friends. Here's a man that absolutely kept his heart and his eye tuned in on God and the will of God. He said, I've seen that other crowd you've been talking about. And he said, I've seen how they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment they go down to the grave. You know, notice something, and you're thinking about, well, what does God do with all these wicked people that are in the world? He's got a reservation for them. Look in verse number 30. That the wicked is reserved until the day of destruction. Isn't that something? They said, well, God is so powerful, this and that, why ain't he doing nothing? He got a reservation for you. If you're a child of God, he's got a reservation for you in heaven. If you're a child of the devil, if you're not saved, he's got you reserved to the day of destruction. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, people just want to feel good. I don't know about you, but I like a good feeling, don't you? In fact, you're going to find out that a fellow by the name of Belshazzar, he was the king of the Chaldeans. And over there in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter number 5, and you ain't got to turn there. But over there, you'll find out that they were taking the utensils from the house of God, and they were drinking, and they were having feasts, and they were drinking wine, and they were drinking themselves drunk. And let me tell you, and all of a sudden, old Belshazzar looked over there against the wall, and there was a part of a man's hand that was writing, and it was writing the doom of him. I mean, he thought he was going to live forever. He thought he was a king that was unstoppable. He thought somehow or another he's going to get all of his lords and captains in on it. And let me tell you, all of a sudden, God stopped him right in the middle of his tracks and put fear of God and trembling in him. Got all his astrologers and all these wise men together. I'm gonna tell you something that I'm convinced that if you could get all the Baptist preachers in America in one room, they'd be so stupid they wouldn't absolutely know exactly what God said from chapter or book or verse. Now, there's a few of them would, but most of them wouldn't have a clue. Most of them use the King James Bible, don't have a clue where it came from. Don't have a clue why we're using it. I got to say to you that if you're free, that's the way it was in Belshazzar's day, and he called his wise men, astrologers, everybody, and they could not read the handwriting that was on the wall. And somebody said, I remember a man that's here locked up in the kingdom. His name is Daniel. Is he here? No, he's not at the beer bust. He's not at the wine sipping party. He's not at the margarita bar. God bless you. Thank you very much. I appreciate both amens, but I don't have to have any. Buddy, I'm a bulldog when I know I'm right. In this Bible lesson, you'll find they said, no, he's not. He's down there in the prison. They said, go get him and bring him now. Buddy, he went over there and he thought, well, you know, I'm going to get to preach before the king and all these people here. I certainly want to use a little bit of diplomacy. Yeah. He said, let me tell you something, Belshazzar. You remember your old daddy and how that God touched him and punched him and put him out to pasture because of the fact that he tried to exalt himself above God, and yet thou knewest all of this and you've not changed. So that had to be cutting all the way. I mean, somebody probably said, you know, Dan, you'd get to preach a whole lot more if you didn't get so mean and ugly and rude. And you'd be a little easier. And let me tell you right now is, dear friend, that night, old Belshazzar, you'll find the Medes and the Persians came and his life was taken. Now, let me tell you, he promoted Daniel for telling the truth of God, but he ended up losing his life. You know why? I'll tell you why. Belshazzar was a man that lived dollar for dollar. He lived power stroke for power stroke. Yeah, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, let me tell you, people not only like to feel good about themselves, but I guarantee you, you can ignore all of the consequences that may be going to come upon you for your past sins. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. It'll catch up with you. In this Bible lesson that you and I are looking at, you'll find there's one event in the Bible that God makes it very clear that's going to happen to everybody alike, and that's the event of death. Sooner or later, we're going to die. The wages, the Bible said, the wages of sin is death. And let me tell you, but the gift of God's eternal life, you want to live forever, you're going to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In this Bible lesson that you and I are looking at here right now this morning, let me say to you, is that it's good that you and I may realize and that we might recognize, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, there's been a lot of people that are thinking, well, I'm going to get saved later. Who told you was going to live later? Somebody said, well, I'm going to do it on the morrow. Who told you was going to live on the morrow? Let me say to you, there's some times that we plan things on tomorrow and it's going to happen. There's some things we plan things on tomorrow and God interrupts our plans. I just said all that so you'd know that you'd better recognize and know that if you get so busy with life and so busy with money and so busy with merriment and so busy with yourself, one of these days it'll catch up with you and you'll go down into the grave. And let me tell you, somebody somewhere is going to have a good time. I tell all my children they don't have to worry about fighting over whatever we leave behind. We're spending it as we go. Oh, now y'all quit looking so gloomy about that. Talk. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, do you not realize that when God says those things that we've just quoted and just said, is that tomorrow is an absurd boast of what we do not own? Do you realize and recognize and own that it leaves God out of the equation? When you go to boasting about, bragging about tomorrow, you're leaving God completely out of the equation. Do you realize and own that we are assuming that we ourselves are going to be in control? You remember over there, Felix, he was a governor, remember that? And you remember over there that whenever he was talking and the Apostle Paul had been preaching to him and all of them, he goes on, and finally, you know, they get to trembling when they hear the word of the Lord. And as a result of that, they decide, I'm going to hear you another day on this matter. But he didn't. But he didn't. You see, he may plan to hear another time, but he didn't. Today you're on this earth. Tomorrow you may be in eternity. In this lesson that we're looking at, and let me say to you, the Bible said over in the book of Luke, we've been every now and again, I don't know why it leads there so often, but here we go, in the book of Luke, in the last days, chapter 17. In the book of Luke, chapter number 17, about verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, talking about Jesus coming. He said they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You know what they were planning on doing? Tomorrow, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow they may die. And yet God said they did that until finally the Lord came and destroyed them all, like it was in the days of Lot, in the next few passages that tell you that. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, we live in a world that's like that. Somebody said, you know, it's getting hard in this country we're living in. Times are getting tight. No, they're not. An old preacher told me one time, he said, everybody's walking around talking about, you know, how hard it is. And no, he said, when it gets hard times in America, these restaurants are shut down. Women that don't know how to cook will have to learn how. Now, I'm not against going. I'm not against going. My wife just took me out for my birthday and all the kids, the grandkids, and I'm glad we had a good time so far. I'm not knocking it. So don't think just because you got plans to go eat lunch somewhere at one of these restaurants that I'm against it. I'm not against it. But I want to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that people were busy eating and drinking. You'll see a lot of them, buddy. They're living day to day, dollar to dollar. And they never consider that one day they're going down to the grave. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, and I got a sermon somewhere. I got a sermon that I wrote years ago. It made a good hit, too, with preachers. I think it's entitled, I can't remember the title. I'll find it later. It's good to know. You get a lot of scowls on their faces looking at you. Huh? It's entitled Cash, Compromise, and Camp Meetings. You know, I used to enjoy that, and then it got to where it was a big money-raising thing. I've had preachers get in my church, in my pulpit, and say, you know, you're throwing away a lot of money. Some of you are throwing away a lot of money buying Cokes and buying ice cream and buying candy bars. You could do without that and give that money to missions. Shut your mouth, preacher. You're not going to be God for me. I've got a Bible that tells me what to do and how to give. Now, if you're not a tither here this morning, you're a God robber. And he'll collect and he'll own his own time. If you're not giving to missions, shame on you. But when a preacher gets up and says, if you don't give as much to missions this year as you did last year, that means that you want to bring people off the mission field. That's a lie. I may not be making as much money this year as I did last year. I may can give more. Doesn't mean that I want to put more people on the field. But it does mean that I'm for obeying God. Do you know what the Bible says? God says that you're to give tithes, and listen, do you know you can give your tithe, and you ain't got to be cheerful about that? Now, God loves a cheerful giver, but that's not with the tithe. You can cry on it. You can weep it. What is it? I'm paying my tithe. It don't matter. It's an obedience offering. And if you don't obey God, you're a God-robbing thief. How can God bless you? But the Bible said that he loves a cheerful giver. But you know how you're to give? As a man, quote, unquote, purposeth in his heart. Yes. Not as somebody trying to intimidate you, somebody trying to coerce you, you understand? Not a bunch of hoopla. God said tithes and offerings. Yes. And I got to tell you something right now. Now, I wouldn't suggest doing this because I know where there's a poor preacher can help you out and take it from you if you'd like it. But after you give your tithe and you give to missions above your tithe that's God purposed in your heart, you can pile the rest of it up and burn it if you want to. I wouldn't do that. Buy you a Coke and a candy bar. Some of you guys, you know, you'll come to church and you're sitting around, you'll suck up and you're tired, and again, then you'll go buy a bass boat and go fishing with it. You ever had a bass boat, preacher? Money can't buy happiness. You can buy a bass boat, and if I've got a pretty good one, I'm going to have a smile on my face. Now, if you want to live under somebody else's thumb, do it. If you're going to live under some nut that's got to tell you when you can be happy and when you can't be happy, well, just get at it and do it. Don't try to bother me with it. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out. I didn't mean to get tied up and side on that. I don't even know why I got up thinking about it. But I thought I got up thinking about that. You know, that's a lot of that went on. I used to go, some of my best friends, some of these meetings there where they were bragging about, I used to watch Jack Wood walk down. He had on a gun, and they walked down, was giving it Mac Fords at that children's home, and they was giving it Mac Fords' little home that was there, and they had like 11 or 12 $1,000, and I watched him pull that out of a sack, make a big show. Do you know the Bible said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing? Did you know that? Did you realize and know that I was sitting there and listening to some of them girls singing, buddy? They were singing. I was sitting there by a fellow by the name of Marty Few. This is over there at the New Bethany home and all that. And this an old gal got up, and buddy, she sang a song. I was sitting there by Brother Few. And old Brother Marty, he's a shouter. And I sitting there and all of that. And I'm thinking, well, there's not nothing much going on here yet. But hey, maybe the preaching's starting a minute. And anyway, this old gal got up. She went to singing a song, and she had on a good set of pipes. And buddy, she went to bellering and all that. And it wasn't long until Brother Marty said, he jumped up and said, I'd give $1,000 from my church for that song. And so that's what he done. Before the week was out, we found out she is a lesbo and had to be run out of that place. I said, hey, Brother Marty, remember that lesbo offering you gave? See, that made him mad. Listen, I've done some stupid stuff in my time too, but do you remember that lesbo singer that you guys turned? Was that God or just emotion? I got to move on because you'll think the first thing you know is that I'll be meddling and hurting you, and I ain't wanting to do that. I'm just wanting to tell you that I know better. I know when a preacher's in the book and when he's not. I know when it's according to the word of the Lord and when it's not. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, make no mistake about it, that whenever you're looking here, and you'll find there's a lot of people that thought on tomorrow they'd straighten something out. By the way, Marty never got that straightened out. Wasn't long, she had to leave there. Now, if you was a lesbian, wouldn't a girl's home be the ideal place for you? Huh? If you was a child molester, wouldn't a boy's home be, wouldn't that be an ideal children's, wouldn't it? A lot of that junk going on, friend. I'm telling you right up front, make no mistake about it, is that we live in a world that live from day to day, dollar to dollar, but in a moment, they're going to be going down into the grave. There was a fellow that thought about over there in the book of Esther, and his name was Haman. He hated those Jews, and there was a man by the name of Mordecai that God had raised up and was going to use Mordecai to deliver the Jews that Haman wanted to have killed. So he built a gallows for Mordecai so he could shut him up and hang him. Esther, being able to converse with him, being a Jew, she knew what was going on. And let me tell you, in the providence of God, Haman, who had built the gallows for Mordecai, ended up dying on it himself. And let me tell you, the very gallows he prepared for another, he died himself upon. Remember the fellow by the name of Abner? Oh, Abner, you know, he was a friend of David, and he promised to translate the kingdom from Saul to David, but he couldn't even ensure his own life for an hour. And he ended up being stabbed to death and no doubt met his maker. You and I that are sitting here right now, make no mistake about it, is that God will promise to forgive your soul. He'll save you, snatch you as a brand from the burning. God has promised that he'd do that. But he does not promise to give you tomorrow that you might repent. That's why he says now's the accepted time. That's why he said today's the day. God will forgive you if you repent toward God and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God divinely gives that to you. Now I want to say in closing that over in the book of Acts, and don't turn there, chapter number 13, it's about verse number 48, you'll find that God said that as many as are ordained to life believed. But let me tell you something, in Ephesians in chapter number 2, it'll tell you that if you've been ordained to life, God's given an ordained walk that you will walk therein. See, a lot of people want to use that ordained to life as a license to sin. It's not a license to sin. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born into the family of God, washed by the blood, forgiven of your sins, God's given an ordained walk of holiness and righteousness in the word of the Lord. Make no mistake about that. I want to say in closing, as you look into it, how are you living? Just from dollar to dollar. Now, I don't know about you. There's been a time that I was poor. I don't even know if Job had a turkey. Where'd that come from, Job's turkey? Poor Job's turkey. I don't know if Job even had a turkey. If he did, it'd be worth something now. But let me just say to you while I'm on this subject, while I'm thinking about it, is that yesterday's gone forever. You can't get it back. You ever hear somebody say, boy, if I could call back a few years. Yeah, but you can't. See? But if you're busy living from day to day, dollar to dollar, and that's all you care about. And I've lived when I didn't have two nickels to rub together. And let me tell you right now, is make no mistake about it, it's not a funny time. Some of you, no doubt, maybe are up against it. I, for one, am not up against it. And let me say to you that, if you will, that if all you got trouble this morning is, if all you got is trouble, is something that a little money would fix, you ain't got no trouble. That's it. If that's all it'll take to fix it. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that not only is yesterday gone forever, tomorrow may not ever come. You had better do business with God right now, if God's tugging at your heart's door. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our musicians are coming. We're going to sing an invitation song. And maybe you'd say, preacher, I want to come. Preacher, I need something from the hand and from the heart of God. I need something that'll be real and that'll be lasting for all eternity. Whatever the need is, you come. If it's salvation, you ought to trust him. Make it known that you want to be saved. If it's service, you ought to surrender. Whatever God is tugging you about, you ought to come. While we sing, Father, bless your word to every heart. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us together like this. And I pray that now you'd move upon us and within us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?
Page 165.
While we sing that, you come quickly as we